This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright, and I'm all you get today. Today we have on the program Marianne Dakotas, a returning guest from our William Wright Commercial Kamloops office. And today's we're talking about golf courses. A lot of listeners may not understand that golf courses can fall under the commercial real estate umbrella, and they actually do have quite a bit of demand for the golf course business here in BC. And Marianne's going to unpack all about how that whole thing comes together, as well as she talks about an extremely exciting opportunity with a new golf course that she's bringing to market here and how people can find out more about how the golf course business operates. There's a lot more underlining to the golf course business than a lot of people think. So without further ado, let's get to our interview today with Marianne Dakotas from William Wright Commercial Kamloops. This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with two fitness areas, three children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's atlincondos.ca.
All right, we're here today with one of our returning guests and a fan favorite, as Matt would say. We got Marianne Dakotas, senior broker, joining us from our William Wright Commercial Kamloops office. Marianne, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Well, you know, I mean, you have been on the program a couple times before in the past. They're covering some great topics there. But for all of those listeners who maybe haven't had a chance to go back and listen to those episodes, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got into commercial real estate?
Oh, for sure. So I've been a commercial real estate agent now with William Wright Commercial for 10 years. I was one of the first brokers that
absolutely
hired.
First female broker that we ever hired as well. And now you lead a whole team of female brokers throughout the company. You're the first.
That's right. I'm known as Flo in the office, first lady of William Wright Commercial. So that's kind of fun. Just don't do any of the things that I've been doing, ladies. But anyways, So prior to that, obviously, I was in real estate. I was in residential real estate. And as I was doing land assemblies in my residential career, I realized that commercial real estate is really where my passion was. And yeah, so I made the change to William Wright and I haven't looked back. And yeah, I love helping landlords and businesses and dollars and leasors all get commercial real estate.
Well, like I said, the 10 years, it's been a pleasure to have you on the team. And you're like family at this point. But the one thing we're talking about today, this is exciting. Now, this is a lot, something that the public may not completely understand, but is a really exciting part of our business from time to time. So there is sort of some very unique assets that we do have the chance of selling from time to time. And today we're going to unpack golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
Golf courses do fall under that commercial real estate umbrella there. And the one thing that a lot of people may not necessarily understand about the golf course business per se is a lot of times too, it's like, can be maybe like a covered land play almost, because you're acquiring a massive amount of land that could potentially in some cases be repurposed for development purposes at times. You've seen companies like Westbuild that acquired the Predator Ridge asset there up in Vernon and how that's expanded into a full community and stuff like that. So I'm excited for this program, Marianne. So maybe just from a high level there, what is a golf course sale? Like what am I really buying when I'm buying golf courses?
Yeah, so you're buying the land, number one, and it's nice because, you know, golf courses, depending on the size, you know, 9 holes or 18 holes, you know, you're in like the minimum 70 acres all the way up to 250 acres. And then you're also buying, you know, the business aspect of it, of course. So, you know, you have your pro shop, you know, your restaurant, and then also the green fees. And then also memberships is also another revenue stream for the golf course business.
Well, I'm sure too, like if you see me golf lessons probably fall there if you're fortunate to have a driving range. Like there's so many different revenue streams that these golf courses had. But I think one thing there that you touched on that I think is probably a really big driving factor of a golf course purchase is the land itself. Because when you're talking about acreage like that, that is not easily... You don't easily come by 250 plus acres of land in a community anywhere. Like, but unless it is a golf course or you're buying a mountain, is that really the driving force that a lot of these golf courses buy? And then we can sort of talk about some, you know, some recent ones have transacted.
You know what? I believe so. I mean, especially if the golf course has development potential. So we see some golf courses that are strictly in the ALR land or in, you know, P zoning, which is park zoning. And there's also the opportunity to have golf courses that have development potential on it. So if you look at the company like Westfield that built out Predator Ridge, not only do they have two beautiful golf courses, but they've built a whole community around it. We also see companies like the Burrard Group that did the same thing in Gallagher's Canyon in Kelowna.
Yeah, great point.
And yeah, it's very exciting to, you know, for people to have a home next to golf course where, you know, they have that passion for golf and also the beautiful scenery. Like I'm not much of a golfer, but if I'm living on a golf course, like how serene is that to look out every morning onto this beautiful, well-kept manicured lawn? So to me, that's like the attractive part too.
Well, when you talk about it from a homeowner standpoint, like, you know, you've got like view properties that may be up on a cliff that can see everything. You've got ocean front properties, and then you've got like golf course properties. And it's right up there with the top echelon of probably the property types you can that I could see the attraction from a developer standpoint where they're getting into the golf course business, but they're unlocking the development potential the land has. And I think you touched on Westbuild's acquisition in the past there. They purchased up in Vernon their Predator Ridge. They've made a complete community out of it and a highly desirable community where whether you're a golfer or not, you've got this golf course that anchors the community, but there's just so much beauty that surrounds it that it creates an unbelievable real estate opportunity in there that a lot of people, when they look at the golf course business, may not particularly think that can be one of the major driving forces behind the golf course business and the acquisition process.
Yeah. And the other cool thing too about Predator Ridge is that there's the hotel aspect to it. So I think, you know, Tobiano is another good example of building a community, but they don't have that hotel aspect yet. But yeah. How great is it that Predator Ridge is actually going to be putting a Ritz-Carlton on site, so you can also do the stay and play and have a getaway. And you know, I think the resort style attraction is also an amazing opportunity for developers as well.
Now, you touched base there on Tabiano, and you obviously are in the Kamloops office there. And the Tabiano golf course is probably not only a local favorite, but probably a provincial and maybe even a national favorite. It does get national attention how beautiful that golf course is. But that's a golf course, as an example, that just changed hands. It was just sold. Is there a lot of these golf course transactions that happen out there that we don't hear about? And who's buying these golf courses?
Yeah, so Tabiano was recently purchased by the same company that purchased Westwood Plateau last year in Coquitlam.
Okay.
And it's called the Green Tea Company, and they own a few golf courses, and people may know them by their luxury golf stores.
And those, yeah, okay, that's where the name sounds familiar, because I know there was one in Coquitlam, and I think they also had a golf store in the Park Casino, JW Marriott. Yeah. Okay, so that's the same company there. So they've recently acquired both of those sites. And when people are looking at, like, from a golf course perspective there, I got to imagine these things are selling for big numbers. Like, how would you quantify those numbers? Are they sold on like a per acre basis? Are they sold on revenue? Because I could imagine the revenue would really make sense if I'm buying 200 acres. Like, how would you sort of factor in? How do you price these kind of assets? Like, what's the pricing metrics and things of consideration when you're trying to figure out what these things are going to sell for?
We look at a couple factors, revenue being one of them, you know, based on a cap rate. We also look at the price per acre or the price per hole. And then we also look at if the land has any development potential. So if there's a golf course that has no development potential, we're going to weigh more heavy on the revenue stream. But if there is expansion potential, development potential, then the price per acre is going to be higher.
So it's very similar to like buying a commercial building, for argument's sake, where I might get a cap rate of 5 on a retail plaza that's got no development potential. Or if there is development potential because there's greater land there, my cap rate may be 3.5 as an example. That same concept is applied when you're considering maybe, you know, pricing these large scale assets.
It is, yes.
When you look at it here, and maybe this is just me, and you're obviously on the front lines with it, and we'll talk about an amazing asset that you're working on here in a second, is... are the buyers of these courses more local buyers, or is there companies buying this on a national stage? And why I ask that, because obviously in BC, we do have a winter and we do have a fall, and we do get poked fun about all the rain out here in the West, which I couldn't imagine is the most ideal situation for a golf course business versus Arizona. So who's buying all of these assets out here in the BC market?
Well, again, it depends. So it depends on the price point. So we see, you know, par nine definitely going to more local people where they can, you know, it's more like a passion project or, you know, something that they can, you know, manage, you know, closer to home. Larger golf courses, they go to, you know, bigger companies that maybe they want to bank land, developers that have, you know, a vision to create possibly a resort style golf course like Sun Rivers or Tabiano. And then, yeah, high net worth people that can be like, oh, look at the golf course that I own.
Yeah. So it's everyone from a land developer all the way to someone who's got a big pocketbook with an equal ego that wants to show off that this is their prime asset that they own.
And, you know, somebody that's passionate about golf and the golf business. And,
yeah, no
kidding. And you know, sometimes, you know, when you're looking at these golf courses, there's a lot of, you know, undervalue components to it. So like, how are the green fees? Can we increase the green fees? Is membership down? Can we get more members and charge the members more? Can we have more parties here? And, you know, how can we increase the revenue? So, you know, there's also has to be a visionary person behind, you know, buying the golf courses. And you know, that's where the passion comes into to golf. And I think they have to like golf.
So I think, like you know, I'm just courses that jump into my head would be like Suwannee Set and Pimentos, where they've got the huge clubhouse and they've got the memberships, obviously, and the revenue and the golf lessons and all that stuff. But they also have weddings and Christmas parties, and there's so many different facets there. So people looking at this type of business is maybe not just the revenue I have today, but what other revenue streams can I create? Where can we maximize revenue here and not just be a golf course in quotations, but an actual like revenue entertainment facility?
Exactly. And it's cool with the off season, you spoke about that. Like down in the Lower Mainland, I definitely feel, you know, you can golf 365 days a year, pretty much, you know, if you're not a fair weather golfer. Like we never really get that much snow to, you know, have the golf courses closed for, you know, months on end. But whereas in the interior, yeah, we get the snow, get the bitter cold, so they can't play. Usually they close between, you know, October and March. But, you know, a really good idea would to be, you know, if you have the restaurant and you have the space to put golf simulators are really popular right now. And so it can still bring in, you know, the golf aspect off on the off season, but you can just go there, do the golf simulator, have some food, bring the family, that sort of thing. So there's like ideas like that in, you know, in the interior golf courses or the northern golf courses where, you know, you can still make it fun on the off season.
So I know you're working on an exciting disposition on behalf of a client of a golf course somewhere in BC. And I know we can't speak, obviously, to the names of a lot of the stuff. They are operating businesses and these things do kind of, like I said before, kind of sell very quietly. Tell us more about what you're working on. How do you market that? Who's the buyer? Like, how does all this stuff go?
Yeah, so I'm very pleased to be bringing out an 18-hole championship golf course in one of the larger cities in the interior of BC. It is within city limits, and so it's very easy for the residents to get to. It's an operating golf course, very well loved, meticulously maintained. But the super exciting part about this golf course is there's tons of expansion. So there's a development site aspect to it where somebody could build condos, hotels, senior centers, a combination of both. There's residual land on the actual golf course itself that you could turn it into potentially another 9-hole golf course, all while maintaining the 18-hole golf course. So that would bring in additional revenue. There's a portion of the land that is in the ALR, but it has been earmarked to come out of the ALR and turned into another residential development up to 317 units. It's a super exciting and beautiful course. And yeah, I'm very excited to launch it here pretty soon.
You're on the front lines of the sale. And as we're talking about who these buyers are, who becomes the buyer of a course like this?
Well, I'm going to find the best, most happiest buyer to buy this course. And they're either going to be somebody that wants to run the course and build out the development aspect of it and really truly has a vision. So, you know, if I were to buy it, which I would love to, I would build, you know, a hotel and really make it a resort destination because of where it is in the interior. You're close to ski hills, you're close to lakes, and you're also close to a whole nature of amenities. So hiking, swimming, boating, all of it. So I think that, you know, having another resort destination style hotel would be amazing. I would also look at building, you know, 55 plus community around the golf course because there's a lot of, you know, downsizers and a lot of golfers are, you know, a little bit older. And what a great way to stay active if you live on the side of a golf course. So, yeah, Absolutely. There's lots of... I'm going to be targeting people that are businesses and companies that are, you know, probably have golf courses in their portfolio, have development, or, you know, at the same time, the two parcels, the development and the golf course could be sold separately. So could open that up to, you know, other buyers, such as just developers or people that just want to run the golf course. So lots of opportunity on this site that I'm going to be bringing out.
I'd be curious to hear, and you may or may not know this, you've seen financials for some of these assets, stuff like that. Do these golf courses, are they getting busier year after year or are they stagnant assets?
No, I mean, the ones that I've looked at, they're definitely getting busier and busier every year. I think golf, you know, had a surge of interest after COVID as well. I mean, it's always been a popular sport, but golf was one of the few activities that people could do during COVID that wasn't shut down, because you're outside, you're social, you know, social distancing, and, you know, from there, and with the popularity of, you know, Tiger Woods and Rory, and, you know, golf has now become like way cooler than it was before. So definitely it's on the upward trajectory. And, you know, this course that I'm launching, you know, you look at the green fees in comparison to other golf courses and they're lower. So another great opportunity for a new buyer to, you know, take advantage of the increased popularity of golf.
So golf isn't just your grandpa's game anymore, is what you're saying?
No. And I don't think it has been for a while, but, you know, after Tiger Woods and his, you know, party at antics, I feel like people are like, oh, hey, golf's actually kind of cool.
Well, Marianne, we appreciate taking the time to sort of unpack this unique asset for our listeners there that may not have a complete understanding of how the golf course sale process works or really what the golf course business is all about. But before we let you go, you know, we've got this six pack of lighthearted questions we have to ask all of our guests. Do you have a few more minutes to hang out?
Yes.
First one up, favorite vacation spot when you find the time?
You know what? I go to Mexico, like, you know, all the time, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Venice, Italy,
okay,
because even though I've only been there once, it was so beautiful and I felt like I was on a different planet, and it was really cool. So I'm going to say Venice, Italy, and I'm just manifesting that as my next trip.
You say you go to Mexico all the time. You're supposed to be working in the Kamloops office there. That's probably a conversation we're going to have offline here pretty quick. You've unfortunately done something horribly wrong and you find yourself on death row, but you're allowed to have one more meal before they pull the plug. What meal are you having?
I'm having charcuterie and red wine.
Oh, nice. That sounds really good, actually. You can tell I haven't eaten today. It sounds really, really, really good. So now, after your charcuterie and red wine, several glasses of red wine, someone sticks a karaoke mic in your face. What song are you singing?
I'm not sure, actually. We actually been going to karaoke a lot, and I've been trying to, like, you know, get the courage to go up there. But, like, I feel like I could...
That's what the wine's for. That's what the wine's for.
I feel like I could sing a Carrie Underwood song pretty good. I think it's Carrie Underwood. Anyways, it's Before He Cheats.
Oh, wow.
Country song.
Yeah. Wow, that seems like you must have some pretty good vocals, I would think, to sing a Carrie Underwood song. That or a lot of wine and courage, one of the two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, this leads me into my third question. I feel like drinking is a topic of this six-pack, but it's not. Favorite alcoholic beverage or non-alcoholic beverage for summer?
Okay, so actually the non-alcoholic beverage at any grocery store, you can find a white wine with no alcohol in it. It's like $7 at the grocery store, and it tastes like better than any white wine I've ever had, and it has no alcohol. Plus, it's only 30 calories. So highly recommend that. And then my favorite alcohol-y kind of drink, aside from a glass of red wine, is definitely a pina colada.
Ah, pina colada. You didn't strike me as a pina colada girl, to be honest with you. I could see the margarita. Pina colada, okay, good to know. Good to know. So that probably driven by Mexico, where you apparently spend all your time?
Exactly.
All right. Looking back on it now, you've been in the commercial real estate industry and the real estate industry for quite some time. What is a piece of advice that today's Marianne would give herself if she was starting in the real estate business way back when?
Well, obviously it would be buy more real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. good advice.
Yeah. Probably my only piece of advice, if I could invent that time machine, is to, yeah.
So invest your earnings wisely into real estate is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Amazing. Well, Marianne, how can all of our listeners find out more about what you're doing in our Kamloops office, or if they even want to inquire potentially on this golf course?
Yeah, I would be happy to talk to them, even, you know, pricing their asset, or if they're looking for assets, definitely call me, email me. All of my information is on our website, and yeah.
WilliamWright.ca, if they're wondering.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing, Marianne. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. We really, really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Corey.
There you have it, folks. Our interview today, Marianne Dakotas, William Wright Commercial, Kamloops, unpacking the golf course business. A lot of great takeaways. And I'm somebody who I find it very fascinating to understand these businesses because we're on the front lines of the brokerage side of the thing. But it's always a great and exciting opportunity to learn about how these businesses operate. So many different revenue stream opportunities we talk about on the program there, about things like such as the wedding business and the Christmas party business and how there's so many other opportunities than just the golf course side of it, as well as Marianne also unpacks a little bit about the development potential a lot of these assets has. And a great asset to talk about would be the Westbuild asset up there in Vernon that we mentioned on the program there, Predator Ridge, where a whole community has now been built out of a golf course, two beautiful golf courses, to create a worldwide destination there. So I hope everyone enjoyed that podcast. For all of those looking to potentially conduct business in the commercial real estate side of things, you can reach us at William Wright Commercial anytime at our Vancouver office at 604-428-5255. You're welcome to send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca, or visit our website, williamwright.ca, and sign up for the latest and greatest. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We will be back next week with another great episode. Take care.
Subscribe today.